Welcome to another episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. I'm your host, Felicia Baxter. In this episode, I am excited to present Bridgerton Mondays. This is the series written by, I think her name is Joyce Quinn, and now is a Netflix, highly successful Netflix series. And I'm just stoked to not only recap the series, because I did binge watch like first six, but also to do a reading from the books, which, just so you guys know, the hardbacks are all on back order. That means, and I'm not usually a historical romance fiction, but this bodice ripping soft porn kind of series is what I'm thoroughly into. It's a great escapement, and I'm so glad that Shonda Rhimes actually produces it. It's right up there with Downton Abbey, as well as the Pride and Prejudice and every Jane Austen spinoff. And I hope you enjoy this episode, and thank you for listening. Always crack up when I find people saying crap like, oh, there's nothing to watch on TV, blah, blah, blah. But in actuality, it is. I have had the pleasure of binge watching at the urging of a friend of mine, Widow Yvonne, this series by Shondaland, Bridgerton. I admit, freely admit, I'm not a fan of historical fiction, but I'm so glad that I got hipped to this great cinematic triumph of the era. It released on Netflix. It's a limited series. All, I believe, 8 or 9 episodes are readily available. And it's just so binge-worthy that you're going to watch it once, but you're going to have to watch it again to get the minute details, because I'm struck by so many of it. The original series was written by Julia Quinn, who is of Jewish descent, and I only mention that because it's in the same era that old skinny white girl Jane Austen actually wrote all of her Pride and Prejudice of it all, which I still think 1995 version from the BBC is probably one of the best versions of that. It is a very opulent and glamorous time. I was just struck that you could obviously tell that every penny, every detail was money well spent. To the detail on the main character, Daphne's dress, to the richness of the dialogue, to the opulence of the balls, to the garish yellow of Penelope, which is one of the, I think the Featheringtons' daughters, fat daughters. Even the details of the embroidery, even though it was way too over the top, was absolutely beautiful. And it's just a well-written, and it's just a well-produced, make-sense adaptation of a historical romance novels. What also struck me is that it is obvious that you can, it's not even that the series is loosely based on the books and the period itself, because there are additions of characters like the Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg-Strelitz character, that one of my favorite cities on the planet, Charlotte, North Carolina, who is named after that, is based. She doesn't figure at all in the series. The author actually of the books actually said that. But why wouldn't she be? Because she herself was a character. Also, one of the things that I kept reading about and I was also struck about was the diversity of the cast. Well, wouldn't you think the cast would be diverse because Shonda Rhimes, who is African-American, actually produced it? But it was obvious that they went to get not just diverse characters, but actually very talented actors and actresses to play these parts. They also added characters and added storylines that, even though they didn't play prominently in the book itself, it only added to the storyline, and it did not take away from the storyline. Unlike what I'm really pissed off with, The Stand. The Stand sucks. It really does suck, y'all. I forced myself to watch the third episode, and it's a wrap for me. I'm not watching any more of that whacked-ass series. I don't get it. How you going? They added another character, They added another ex-crucified character. I'm talking about The Stand this time. Who comes back to basically tell them what they got told in the dreams in the book? What the fuck? Who needs that? And it was just so dumb. And then I noticed in the credits that Stephen King's son actually was one of the contributors to the script. They could have left his ass out, because none of his changes or additions added nothing to the richness of the story and the storyline. I say all of that to say is, in this particular case, they did not modernize it, except for the music. I did hear Adam Levine playing on violin at one of the balls, but it worked. If they had just stuck to the storyline and made some of these additions that made sense to the period, or built or fleshed out the different characters, if they had watched this and were taught how you do an adaptation of a book, they would have had success, because this particular adaptation of the Bridgerton series actually makes sense, and it was just so well done. From the opulent costumes to that afro wig of the queen, girl, I live for that. That is how I want my fro to end up being. The Lord Hastings, Simon Hastings, and the sharp-tongued Lady Danbury. I think, as an African-American woman, seeing my people that look like me, or how I would want to be represented on the screen, she pulled it off in spades. But would you expect nothing less from Shonda Rhimes? I'm just saying. Also, it's remarkable that they did have Golda Rochevel, who plays the Queen Charlotte, who we all know now, as well as a genetic historian, also looked into her genealogy. She may be the love child of a black mother and her Portuguese father. And she looks ethnic, y'all. This is the age before hair straighteners and lip fillers. Her lips are full, and her hair is ethnic. She does look like a sister. And there is one Gainsborough painting of her in all of her royal finery. Very rich, with, it looks like, ermine and gold. I think I've actually seen this when I actually visited London last. That it is her in her stately robes It looks like gold embroidery, and she's all decked out in her finest pearls, and she looks like my niece. I'm black, y'all. My niece is fair-skinned, but she looks like Hannah, or Hannah looks like this lady. I'm just saying, we may have royal blood for all I know, but all I got to say is that she does look like a sister, and we're going to have to claim her. And it just makes me proud how it seems the actress, Golda Rochevelle, actually personified this great lady. Controversial. Her husband was crazy as a bed bug, literally, probably from porphyria, but he was probably just bipolar and not on meds. And she basically protected him throughout until one of her crazier ass sons basically took over after the father finally succumbed. But this little tidbit didn't take away from the actual, the first episode or the next several episodes. I was just struck by, you were introduced to basically all of the main characters in the first episode. Hastings Danbury, the Bridgertons, the Queen, Daphne, all of them have a role to play in all other subsequent episodes. And it was just so well written that the addition of these additional characters didn't take away from the flow of the story, and it just made it all make more sense, and it gave that artistic Hollywood slant on it, but it just brought it to beautiful fruition. And the dream or the vision of the directors or the producers, you could actually tell, were personified on the screen and not left what we used to call in the old, the days of the actual film, tactile film, were not left on the cutting room floor. It was just well produced, well edited, and it basically sets you up for all subsequent episodes. The first episode did. And I just would not expect anything less from Shonda Rhimes. And I'm going to just read you a tidbit from the book itself, because I was actually also struck that I now am, for myself, basically going to be reading the series, hopefully in total, as I recap every single episode of this particular series. I'm only going to read you snippets from the prologue, because this played very, the prologue itself is the birth of Simon Bassett. How he was wanted by his mother as fulfilling her duties as a female duchess. Basically, women in the Regency period, and especially women of high rank, were basically brood mares. And the Duke, Simon's father, admitted that he really didn't love her and she did not love him. They were basically securing the bloodline of the Hastings family line and the dukedom. She basically bled out, because I bet she had probably, the reason why she could not probably conceive, because he probably gave her PID and she kept miscarrying. And then she had two stillborn babies. This is the baby before newborn resuscitation. And she, they probably didn't massage down her uterus. She had a uterine atony, which basically says it doesn't constrict down to stop the bleeding. Or she could have had a rip. Who knows? She could have ruptured during the pregnancy or during the delivery, because this was her fifth and last baby, and she ended up bleeding to death and dying. Simon basically didn't speak until he was 4 years old, and then he had a pronounced stutter, and then the Duke basically was like, he is a moron because he had a speech impediment, left him to be raised by his nurse, and then banished him to the country, to Cliveden. And he made it clear that he was disappointed in the son, and how could a son come from his issue that wasn't perfect? Even though it sounds like he was a cute little boy with curly brown hair and blue eyes, I guess, but he just didn't talk. But he was really smart, but the Duke could not get past the speech impediment. And if he had just taken the lead of a woman, the nurse, he would have found out that this kid was brilliant, and he wasted so much time hating what he couldn't understand. And this is just so pitiful and so hurtful. I'm not even going to read this because I don't think it's going to add anything to the actual series itself, but it did actually add to me about the complications of filial relationships, which I take great umbrage to because personal things in my life, but also how a father can just kick his son to the curb because of this one imperfection, which is correctable. It just really kills me. But it also sets Simon up for the person, the man he is to become, and his own hangups. And it's going to play a major role in his interaction with Daphne Bridgerton and before they get on with their lives and what their relationship and the fruits of their relationship, all the issue from him, if it ever is ever going to be such, because I've actually stopped watching it. This is after they get married, and it is obvious that he can have kids. It's just that he doesn't want to have kids because of his speech impediment. His father had him thinking and hating himself for so many years just because of the hatred stemming from his pathological father. I find it rich, but it makes sense, y'all, I guess, you know? But it is just so negative and horrible. You need to read it on your own. This is not going to be a part of this podcast because there's so much positivity that I want to portray in this podcast as it relates to this series. And this is just one of those things that you're going to actually have to read. I think it's beautifully written. Don't no shade, but it's just so negative. I don't really feel like dealing with it at this time, but it is a good read. And it's going to keep me in, because now after the prologue, I'm actually up to chapter one, and I'm looking forward to making great strides on the book itself before I talk to you guys next week about subsequent episodes of the series. So enjoy it. Buy it and enjoy it. Just all I got to say on it. Well, that's it for this episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading. I hope, excuse me, you enjoyed listening to my recap and my assessment, as well as my impression of this new limited series, Bridgerton by Shondaland. I'm just over the moon that I was able to enjoy it. I implore the listening audience to just take a gander and look at this episode for what it is, read the books, and also do your own research on the history of the times, the Regency period, all of the first four or five Georges of the English monarchy is the bomb. And also finding out that really Meghan Markle is not the first mixed race royal. They had one, y'all, and it was Queen Charlotte. Yes, she was probably mixed between her mama, who was a Muslim, Moor, and her father, which was a Portuguese Duke. I'm just saying, but it's all that in a bowl of grits. But whatever you do, don't forget to also navigate to a Libris and use my coupon codes to get a percentage off of your orders. And if you have most people that don't agree with you and they're really getting on your nerves and make you take a deeper dive into the books, you can also navigate to shipabagofdicks.com. That's www.shipabagofdicks.com/10frogotjokes, and use that promo code to also get a percentage off of your order. And I hope you enjoyed this episode just as much as I've enjoyed creating it. And until next time, bye y'all.